Hare Krishna, everybody. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be back in New Goloka. So today's topic is faith by direct experience. And I will first go through the Bhagavad Gita verse that we've selected for today, and then I'll explain the outline for the class and show you which direction we're going to go in. And at the end of the class, I'm going to share a little bit about what I've been doing recently in Krishna House in Gainesville, Florida, with a few pictures. So we'll do this Bhagavad Gita verse 9.2, chapter 9.2. So before we do the Sanskrit, I'd just like to read the translation in English for everybody. This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting, and it is joyfully performed. So you can see I bolded the section that's relevant to today's topic. So in this one verse alone, there's an endless series of seminars that could be given. You can see each different description. And that's just a sample of how amazing Krishna consciousness is. It's like you can take one aspect of it and talk about it for so long. So we're going to talk about this direct perception of the self by realization. And the Sanskrit word for that is pratyaksha vagamam. So this is broken up into two, pratyaksha, by direct experience, and avagamam, understood. So this Krishna consciousness is understood through direct experience, and that's the word in the Sanskrit that we're going to sing that's today's topic. So here's the Sanskrit verse. Can everybody see that? Is it okay? Okay. So I'll just say one line, and you can repeat, and then we'll say it together. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam.
Raja Vidya Raja Guyam.
Pavitram Idam Uttamam.
Pavitram Idam Uttamam.
Pratyaksha Vagamam Dharmyam.
Pratyaksha Vagamam Dharmyam.
Susukham Kartum Avyayam.
Susukham Kartum Avyayam.
Raja Vidya Raja Guyam.
Raja Vidya Raja Guyam.
Pavitram idam uttamam.
Pavitram idam uttamam.
Pratyaksha vagamam dharmyam.
Pratyaksha vagamam dharmyam.
Susukham kartum avyayam.
Susukham kartum avyayam.
Let's say it one more time together, okay? Raja vidya raja guyam. Pavitram idam uttamam. Pratyaksha vagamam dharmyam. Susukham kartum avyayam. Pratyaksha vagamam. So let's read the translation one more time. This knowledge, we can read it together actually, that way I'll say it. This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting, and it is joyfully performed. So I selected, this purport's actually lengthy, it's several pages long, and I selected two paragraphs from it that are relevant to today's topic, and they're really amazing, these two paragraphs, you'll see this one in the next paragraph. It is said that the execution of devotional service is so perfect that one can perceive the results directly. This direct result is actually perceived, and we have practical experience that any person who is chanting the holy names of Krishna, in course of chanting without offenses, feels some transcendental pleasure and very quickly becomes purified of all material contamination. This is actually seen. So when Srila Prabhupada was writing his purports, he was actually speaking them. And you can feel almost his the personalism of this paragraph, how he's speaking from experience. And the second paragraph. Furthermore, if one engages not only in hearing, but in trying to broadcast the message of devotional activities as well, or if he engages himself in helping the missionary activities of Krishna consciousness, he gradually feels spiritual progress. This advancement in spiritual life does not depend on any kind of previous education or qualification. The method itself is so pure that by simply engaging in it, one becomes pure. So this is the outline of today's topic. We're going to discuss who are we trying to develop faith in, then Krishna consciousness is a science, and then how to get the experience that's going to create the faith, and how to share that, or what it means to share that experience with others,
And then dissolving the doubts that sometimes arise in our hearts or in other people's hearts when they question whether or not their faith is actually growing. So, Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunivari Pashtyatyadishtarini Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Ivaja Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So who are we trying to develop our faith in? This is the, before we think about whether it's something we want to do, we have to find out who is the person that we're trying to develop our relationship with. And the name that we call God by most frequently in the Hare Krishna movement, as you can imagine, is Krishna, the name that we call him with so much affection. And the reason why the name is so special is that it actually describes the relationship of us with God. So if you think Krishna, the definition of Krishna is the all-attractive personality. That automatically assumes that we are going to be attracted to Krishna. So by nature, our real intrinsic nature is to be attracted to Krishna. It's just automatic. There's no effort involved. And why is Krishna so attractive? What is it about him? He has all the qualities that we find attractive in this world, like beauty, strength, renunciation, wealth, intelligence. And he's also very irresistible. The more we hear about Krishna, the more we want to hear about him, the more we want to know him. He's so attractive, so appealing. He satisfies us in ways that we can never find in this world. He's also very dependable. Krishna is the most dependable, most reliable friend you'll find in this world. Even if you find somebody in this world who you feel you click with very well and you know, you're really attached to, time is going to pull that relationship apart. So Krishna is the only one that will be with us from day one until the last day of this life, and not even that, but continuously into our next life. So this is who Krishna is, and that's only a tiny little description. All the scriptures are just trying to explain who Krishna is, but it can never be fully explained. It can never be fully described who Krishna is and how amazing and what a great person Krishna is. So Srila Prabhupada, in describing Krishna consciousness, or the in developing our awareness of Krishna, reviving our relationship of Krishna, he described Krishna consciousness as a science. And he said it's not just a religion, not just sentiment. It's actually very scientific. And it's actually very unique in that way. There's many different approaches to spiritual life, but to have something, an actual process that's, here's the method, it's described for us in the scriptures, and we can actually apply ourselves, and we can experience the results within this very life. That's the amazing thing about Krishna consciousness. We don't have to wait until we leave this body to find out what's really right. What's really, you know, okay, let's see, after I die, I'll figure it out. I'll see where I end up. So fortunately, even in this life, and even within a matter of a day, or even within a moment, depending how we apply ourselves, we can experience that relationship with Krishna that will cement our faith forever. So Krishna consciousness is so unique in that way. Kalakanta Prabhu, he's the president of the center in Gainesville, Florida, Krishna House. He was explaining about the difference between religion and spirituality. He was giving a discussion on that. And he said that Krishna consciousness is unique because you don't have to have faith to try it. You don't have to have faith to enter it. You can actually come, experience it, and then develop your faith. And that's unlike, sometimes people might think that, well, first I have to throw my faith into something that I don't know anything about, and then I'll experience something. And that's kind of a scary thing to do for most people. So this is actually very comforting. We can invite people to come and experience Krishna consciousness, and from that, automatically, their faith will develop. In the Bhagavatam, in the 11th, the 12th canto, there's an analogy given about eating, and it's described that as you eat, you're simultaneously being satisfied, nourished, and filled. You know, like, all those things are happening simultaneously for one who is eating. And similarly, in Krishna consciousness, you're being satisfied with your relationship with Krishna, you're getting direct experience of Krishna, and your faith is growing, all simultaneously working together. And if you looked at somebody who is eating a meal, we all have experience of feeling that nourishment, that satisfaction of eating. You could never quite tell them when they're full or when they're satisfied. It's a very subjective experience too. Similarly, spiritual life for each one of us is a unique path. It's a unique process of our relationship with Krishna and how that's being revived. Unlike eating, Krishna consciousness never gets filling. That's the one difference between this analogy. So you might have a really amazing cheesecake in front of you, and you just are enjoying every bite. But at a certain point, for most people in this world, they're going to feel really full. And then if they go beyond that point, they're no longer going to get that satisfaction. But Krishna consciousness is unlike that. And we've all experienced that in our lives, that the more you absorb yourself, the more you chant, the more you really involve yourself in this process, the better it becomes, and the more relishable. So in a typical scientific experiment, you would have the method. Here's the means, this is the way it's been proved, and this is the method to achieve the goal or to achieve the result of the experiment. So if someone was looking at Krishna consciousness in a purely scientific way, let's see, okay, I'm going to get the result of this spiritual experience simply by following all the things, you know, the bullets exactly to the T. Still, they're missing something, and I'll give a little analogy to explain this point. Say, for example, you are near the White House, and you happen to be in a bush near the front door of the White House with binoculars. And you see somebody running up the stairs of the White House door, up the porch, and knocking on the door. And they maybe do like a fancy kind of knock, like some kind of code knock. And suddenly you see the president opening the door. And you think, wow, that seems simple enough. I'm going to do the same thing. So you try to retrace those steps exactly. So you go the same way, you knock the same. Do you think that you'll be able to see the president that way? And if the answer basically is no, because probably the guards will tackle you and throw you out. So this is just a mundane example to show how there is an element of this spiritual science that goes beyond just method. So bhakti yoga is method, definitely, because we do sadhana bhakti, plus qualification, plus relationship. So it's not just, okay, I'm going to, you know, follow that devotee's example, sit in their same spot that they sat in on the same day and hope for the exact same result. There has to be qualification, and there has to be a relationship with Krishna. We can't force our way into Vaikuntha, like Srila Prabhupada would sometimes say. We can't just barge in and expect to be received like that. There has to be a certain mood of humility, a certain desire, wanting Krishna. And there has to be that sense of relationship. Krishna has to actually reach his hand out to us. We can't just force our way in. We need the mercy of Krishna and the devotees. So that's the science of Krishna consciousness. It's a little bit more intricate than just the mundane scientific experiment that you could, you know, see. So how do we get this experience? And by experience, I don't mean necessarily seeing visions of Krishna while you're driving down the highway. It's more than that. The experience of Krishna consciousness comes from all of the energies of God. God is not, it's not that Krishna is only showing himself through direct visions in the person's eyes. He's actually present in the association of saintly people, within the deity, within the books, within the chanting. So Krishna is actually approachable and reachable in so many different ways. One of the descriptions that Rupa Goswami gives in Nectar of Devotion, he lays out these five pillars of bhakti. And these are the simple categories under which all of our activities fall. And these are the ways in which to experience Krishna. So first of all, hearing. And this is something, you know, we're all doing right now. I might be speaking, but actually I'm hearing also because Krishna is speaking these words, you know, like, so I'm hearing at the same time while speaking, and then there's inquiry, and then it goes back and forth. And then chanting. Well, actually, hearing. Srila Prabhupada, I recently heard a lecture where he said, and he was very passionate about this point, he said, people are always asking, why doesn't God show himself to me? Why? I want to see God. I want to see him with my own eyes. And he said, but why do they place so much value on the sense of perception, of the eyes? He said, why don't they place that emphasis on the hearing, on the ears? And he said, that's the whole process of Krishna consciousness, is seeing, experiencing Krishna through hearing. And it's a different sense. It might counterintuitive a little bit. But it's through the hearing that we actually experience Krishna. And there's a really nice quote I wanted to share with all of you. It's from the 12th canto of Bhagavatam. It says, when one simply hears about Krishna's power, the Lord personally enters their hearts and cleanses away every trace of misfortune, just as sun removes the darkness or as a powerful wind drives away the clouds. So that's another example of how it happens in this very lifetime. By proper hearing, Krishna's in there scrubbing our hearts. It's like working, the process is working. And from that we get experience. And then chanting, we all have experience of chanting, either situation on our japa beads or in congregation or out on the streets, and it becomes more and more relishable the more people are involved. And then deity worship, which is something I'm pretty sure that each one of us has had experience with deities, praying to deities or serving them. And residing in a holy place. So this could mean one of the places where Krishna performed his pastimes, or it could mean right here, New Goloka, because Krishna resides here. Or, to make things even more simple and convenient for us, it could mean our very own homes where we serve Krishna. So if we have Krishna within our home, then we don't need to run to some distant land to try to find Krishna. That is a holy place, wherever Krishna is there. And then finally, devotee association. And you can see I highlighted devotee association. This one, if you think about devotee association, it actually includes the other four. So that's the most amazing thing about devotee association. In devotee association, you're often hearing about Krishna. You're discussing Krishna together, inspiring each other. You're chanting together. There's deity worship. And there's a holy place automatically. Wherever the devotees are, you've created a holy place. Even if you're out in a park somewhere, you've created a holy place, a place where Krishna is present with the devotees. So there's a really nice example of the effect of devotee association on somebody's life. And the person's name is Narada Muni. He, in his past life, Narada Muni is a traveling transcendental spaceman. That's how Srila Prabhupada described him. He travels the universe and he tries to instill that experience of Krishna consciousness in other people's lives. So in his previous life, he was the child of a maidservant And she wasn't married. She was living a very simple, poverty-stricken life. And she would make her, she would take care of her and her son by serving others. And there was one instance where she was taking care of a group of sages, of devotees. And she was making meals for them. And she would have her little son, who was like 5 years old, delivering the plates to those personalities. And he, just by that service, he would bring the plates, he would hang around, he would listen to them talking, he would clean up after them. Just by that, he grew very attached to these devotees. And all of the layers that might have been there were removed, and he became more and more purified in their association. And his love for Krishna was naturally developing. So he was so young. This gives us hope. You know, even as a child, there's that, through the devotee association, so powerful. Children can experience Krishna in their lives just by being in the association of devotees. So his mother passed away when he was really young, and he was left all alone. He had nobody else to take care of him. But because that faith of Krishna was instilled in his heart from the devotee association, he went on out on this amazing quest. You know this pilgrim's quest, that concept of somebody going out and trying to find God? So that's what he did at such a young age. And it was because these sadhus, these great personalities, had instilled in him faith of Krishna. So he went and traveled the world looking for Krishna, because he knew, Krishna's my only shelter. I have nobody. And he traveled. There's this description in the Bhagavatam. He went over hills and in valleys and through forests and crossed rivers and looking for Krishna and praying. And eventually his quest was, it culminated in him actually being able to see Krishna. Krishna appeared to him and reassured him and gave him so much affection and told him that in his next life he would constantly be in his association. And in his next life, he was Narada Muni, and he is Narada Muni now. So this is just an example of how powerful the devotee association can be. And it doesn't have to be very long. It can actually be a moment. It depends how we take the devotee association. If we're in the right mood when we're with devotees, then Krishna really pours his mercy through those devotees. So we have these five pillars of bhakti. These are ways of experiencing Krishna consciousness and developing our faith. And then we also have times in our lives when we might not be so active, or we might not be maybe quite reaching our potential spiritually, but still we receive mercy from Krishna and his devotees. And we see that again and again in our own lives, and we hear about it in the lives of others. Like, for example, sometimes we hear devotees might drift away for a little while, and they might get, again, involved in the material energy. But then at the time of their death, somehow miraculous things come together, and Krishna is again present for them, taking care of them, and devotees are there, and somehow chanting to them as they leave their body. And we can see that the unwarranted mercy that, it's like, even if we don't deserve it, Krishna and his devotees are constantly giving it to us. And Lord Chaitanya's movement is just full of that. It's wanting to share this experience that of Krishna with others. It's wanting to give that faith to others, even if they haven't asked for it. So it's going even beyond Krishna's mercy. It's knocking on people's doors and saying, here, try this, take this free sample, taste this. You'll experience something amazing. And from that experience, your faith will automatically grow. It's such a sweet and wonderful way, wonderful mood of Lord Chaitanya's movement. The next phase of our own experience is to naturally want to share it with others. Like I just mentioned, sharing it with people who might not have that experience. But there's also sharing it amongst devotees. And when we experience something, we want to share it with another devotee. We want to hear their experiences. And because every devotee has their unique relationship with Krishna, every time we hear from a devotee, we're hearing a new aspect of Krishna. Something that, wow, there's something I haven't yet experienced about Krishna. It's theirs. It's their particular relationship with Krishna that we're hearing about. And it creates a community faith. It creates a global faith that goes beyond just our own individual faith. So when I experience something or somebody else experiences something or a third person, and we all share those, we create this strong foundation of faith. And it's unbreakable. It really becomes like that bundle of sticks that we sometimes hear about. Like unbreakable, no matter how much you try, because there's that community faith there. And we might encounter situations where people express to us, or we ourselves start to doubt, or we start to wonder, okay, I'm doing everything right, and I don't feel my faith growing. What's happening? Am I doing something wrong? Or somebody might come up to us and say, I've been in this Hare Krishna community for a year now, and I just don't feel anything. I think I'm going to leave. So these things come up too. And the expert person who is the expert devotee of Lord Chaitanya who is able to really inspire others is able to extract from every single living entity an experience that they've had with Krishna. It doesn't matter how minimal it is. They're able to ask the right questions and like draw it out of people. For example, this person might be struggling, and you say to them, well, what is it about Krishna consciousness that has kept you here for a whole year? There must be something that has attracted you about Krishna. What is that one thing? And you help them find that. You help them. Because when they're able to find that thing, then their faith is growing. Then they realize, oh, I do have a little something there, and that is their faith. So you're helping them gain that faith by helping them remember what they have gained, what they have learned in the association of devotees. And it's actually impossible to come in contact with Krishna and not have an experience. So it's actually an easy situation. You help someone find out what spiritual experience have you had, and it has to be there, because it's impossible not to have had an experience in Krishna's presence or in the association of devotees. It can be like a moment's association. It can be one time eating amazing, delicious food that has been offered to God. It can be chanting one time in a kirtan that really touched somebody. It can be these little things, but those are not little things when it comes to Krishna. Those are amazing, monumental moments. And if we can help someone, or if we can help ourselves, remember those things and realize, wow, I actually have moved ahead in my life. I'm no longer where I was before. And you turn and look behind you and you realize you have gone so far. Wow, I may actually moved ahead. And it's so encouraging and inspiring. One of the things that I like to do in my personal life is to journal. And I find that if I write down these moments where I really had experiences in Krishna consciousness, later on, if there's any doubts or any negativity about my own spiritual progress, I can look back and feel inspired. Wow, there was, Krishna showed his mercy there and there and there, and those devotees cared about me even though I didn't care about them. And there's so many things, so many ways to see Krishna's mercy in our lives that can then fill us with faith. Another doubt that might arise is, well, you know, I'm so insignificant. I'm so tiny. Like, why do I even matter? How is this all, you know, how am I going to get faith? Because I don't even really matter in the scheme of things. You know, I'm so tiny. And it's true, we are tiny in the scheme of things. But because we are a part of Krishna, we are not insignificant. We are actually significant. And it's comforting to think about how insignificant our impurities are in the face of Krishna. In the context of Krishna, he's so amazing, so grand, so unlimited. And yes, we are tiny, but so are our impurities. Our impurities are also tiny. So it doesn't take much for Krishna to remove those and help us progress really fast. So it's just a little way to tell the mind, like, oh, don't worry, don't give up hope. It's not all up to us anyway. We have so much, we actually have to rely on the mercy of devotees and Krishna. So really, we don't have to fight this battle alone. It's not that big of a deal in the sense that Krishna can immediately remove it, and Krishna is there for us, and the devotees are there for us. And as long as we stay in the association of devotees, as long as we stay in that spiritual environment, then the process will naturally work. Even if we don't want it, it will work. It's like if you're next to a fire, you will automatically get warmed up. It will happen automatically. So we can be very confident, very optimistic. We're in a process that's so wonderful, and we're connecting, we're redeveloping our relationship with what such a wonderful person is Krishna. And we have so many well-wishers. It occurred to me one day that all of the great devotees in this lineage coming from Srila Prabhupada's previous, his spiritual master, the previous spiritual masters going back so far, going back to Krishna, they're all our well-wishers. And I thought for a second, am I resisting their mercy? Am I the one who's closing the door and not letting them get to my heart? Because they're there, they're ready to give us everything. They're ready. And even this association devotees, we're all here for each other. And I had to ask myself, am I the one who's closing that door and not letting them in, who's not letting that mercy in? It's like if you're, say for example, you're at the beach and your friends are saying to you, this water is amazing, if you come in you're going to have so much fun. This is such a great experience, the waves are perfect, the weather is perfect, come in, they're calling you, come in, this is going to be so much fun, join us. But there's a hesitancy, there's a resistance, there's, you know, like fear, all these things that come. But all we need to do is put one toe into the water of Krishna consciousness. Put our little toe in and see, oh yeah, they're right. Start to develop that trust, that faith in them. Yes, I can believe the acharyas, I can actually do this. This is, and then put your leg in, and then put your other leg in, and just dive into Krishna consciousness until you reach that point where you realize, wow, my faith is unshakable, and it's never going to be disturbed by anything, any situation. So I just wanted to share with you my recent experience of being at Krishna House in Florida. And I was talking about devotee association, and that's the thing that I've gained the most from, is the association of all the wonderful devotees at Krishna House. So Krishna House is Gainesville, Florida. It's actually connected to the university there. It's a small center that's been in there for 40... The actual building hasn't, but the Krishna House community has been there for 42 years. And they've had this amazing prasadam distribution program there where they serve on the campus of University of Florida. And it's actually very rare to be able to start anything like that nowadays because of all these rules that you have to follow with the FDA and everything. But because they started out in the 70s and they got so cemented in the culture of the university there, everybody in the town knows the word Krishna, like the name Krishna. Krishna Lunch, Krishna House, it's a common word. And the amazing thing is to hear the students saying, they come up to Krishna and they say, oh, I was just looking forward to being with Krishna, or I was just, and they say, they drop the lunch and they just say Krishna. So they say like, they say things like, I can't live without Krishna, you know, like that. And it's so amazing. It just gives you goosebumps. It's so amazing. So we have five houses where the residents of the Krishna house live. And we have about 25 to 30 people at any time. And I'm currently the director for the students that live there. So my responsibility is to do the weekend activities for them, to also organize all of the classes, the curriculum, and the events, and just to make sure all the devotees living there are happy. And we have people from all over the world that come and live there. We also have new people that join through Krishna Lunch. They come from campus, and they join the program, and they want to experience an ashram life, so they come live with us. And it's really a wonderful experience. There's so much to say, but I'll just go fast through these a few pictures. So here's the table where they get their little coupons. They can buy one lunch or a pack of them for a discount. And this is Wednesday, where it's Spaghetti Day. And Spaghetti Day on Wednesday is the most popular day. It's like 1,200 people, something like that, that come. And they serve for 3 hours, so you can imagine the lines get really long. That's quite an adventure. So the people who live at Krishna House also serve Krishna lunch. And you can see them here on the left. They're all happy serving. And then you can see all the students lining up on the right. Here's some Krishna lunchers eating their Krishna lunch. There's like a whole community of Krishna lunchers. There's actually generations of people who've eaten Krishna lunch. Like some people say, oh, my grandparents had Krishna lunch. And then we have different activities like the Rath Yatra we had as part of the University of Florida's parade. We had a Rath Yatra, and you see the girls are decorating and pulling the cart. And we have, this is our chef who cooks every Sunday. We have a really nice Sunday program at noon. And we have a lot of new people that come from University of Florida. And we went to visit a farm. The devotees have cows. And we go on outings. Like here we went on a trip to Tallahassee, which is like a 2.5 hour drive. And we went there for the weekend, and we did like Harinam and book distribution and different programs. And we had a 12-hour kirtan recently in the Krishna house. And we had an event where it was a yoga fest, and we did kirtan and for the yoga people who came from all over the world, I mean the country. So we did kirtan for the yoga people. And there's just a lot of joy in cooking for devotees there, and also taking prasad. It's like this constant giving, receiving, really loving, affectionate community there. Especially because it's all based around Krishna lunch, there's a lot of prasadam involved. Devotees really relish it there too. And you can see they're enjoying their food. This is just at the Krishna house. And then we also go on outings, Harinams. And I just liked this picture because it shows here two blissful devotees. These two actually are Kalki and Carlos. They're actually the biggest book distributors in relation to Gainesville. And they go traveling and they do so many books. They've actually gotten Gainesville like up on the list for people, for places distributing so many books. And over here you see like one of the Florida students jumping in. And that just shows you how attractive Krishna consciousness is. It just pulls people in. They can't resist. And then finally, this photo just shows the end of our semester. We had this kind of farewell party for everybody for the semester. And we had this appreciation circle. All the devotees wrote down something, some appreciation for every other devotee. We passed around papers for every devotee, and they went around and filled it up. So at the end, you received your paper, and it had all these nice, encouraging things. And I found this exercise was so nice. At the end of this exercise, all the devotees appreciated each other so much more, and there was so much love in the air, and it's something that every group of devotees can do. It's really sweet. So I'm really grateful that I get to be there and somehow be of service to this wonderful group of students and devotees and people who are learning spiritual life. And I'm also happy to be back here for my winter break, and again, I'm going to go in January, but thank you for having me today, and Hare Krishna.